Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, how many of you are ready for the Word of God today? All right, if you've got a Bible, good on you, mate. Go with me to Ephesians 5. We're going through the book of Ephesians. We've been going chapter by chapter. Today, we'll go through Ephesians 5, and then next week, we'll cap it off with good old Ephesians 6. Because that's usually what comes after Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, I'm just going to read from verse 6. Actually, let's stand to our feet in reverence for God's word today. And let's all read together from the screen. This is the English Standard Version, but you can also read it off your page if you have a Bible as well. Let's all read together. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I was going to tell you, turn to somebody and tell them you were darkness. Darkness! Darkness! But now you are in the light. Father, we thank you for your word, which is light. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, so we know where we're going in life. We thank you, Lord, that as you illuminate these scriptures for us, Lord, we'll be able to see not only where we're going, but who you are. You are awesome. We thank you for your grace towards us in Jesus' name. Amen. High five three people around you before you take a seat. Say what up. The title of my message today, everybody, is True North. True North. Now, growing up as a kid in Mount Wellington, Auckland, New Zealand, I was one of those kids that my parents always wanted me to try new things. I like to stay in my comfort zone, but my parents said, okay, why don't you join the Cub Scouts? I don't know if anybody joined the Cub Scouts back in the day. I wanted to, you know, play rugby with all the rest of my friends. They're like, no, you might. My mom was one of those moms, and still is to this day one of those moms, right? A lot of you know my mom. No, you might get hurt, son. Go join the, you go play soccer. And you go to the Cub Scouts. So I went to Cub Scouts, guys. This is confession time. As you can see, I'm still bearing a lot of the, you know. It's all right. You go to rugby and become an Auckland Blues player. I'll just go to Cub Scouts. And when I went to Cub Scouts, one of the things I learned, one of the skills that I learned that the rugby players didn't learn was this whole thing of orienteering. You remember orienteering? Some of you might have done it in school as well. And I got a compass, man. They got rugby boots. I got a compass. And I learned how to work that compass. But I remember the first time we did orienteering, and basically the whole idea of orienteering is you take a compass, you take a little map, and there's clues, and you got to find these clues, and they spell out something, or they give you like the totality of a picture that if you have that, all of the clues mapped out, then you come back and you win a prize and that sort of stuff. And the prize was usually food that I like, so I always tried to win. And then we went to, many of you that come from Auckland will remember this ghetto beach called Winderhome. Up in the north of Auckland. And so we went there, and there's, I mean, the area that was bush, that's for the Australians here, that was bush, was no bigger than this building. It's not that big. To make it more dramatic, let's say it included the car park. To be honest, it was only the size of this building. And I got lost in there for hours because I couldn't figure out how to work my compass. All I knew was that I had an awesome compass, but I didn't know how to work the tool. And until somebody afterwards showed me how to work the tool, as I was, my face was drenched with man tears, being lost in that small space of bush, when if I'd actually just gone five steps further, I'd actually hear cars and see that there was a road there. I'm still feeling, see, I told you I should have gone to rugby. I would have been able to find my way if I knew how to work the tool. And so a lot of what I want to say in line with that is a lot of us have the tools around us. We have the Word of God, we have prayer, we have fellowship within the church. These are foundational, but a lot of us don't know what they exist for and how they're to help us get in the direction that God wants us to go in. Now, let me just say this as a statement. I mentioned this last week, but I want you to keep this in mind, okay? A lot of Christians ask the wrong question. And the question is, what am I on earth for? The question we should actually be asking is, who am I on earth for? The reason why there's a difference is because once you figure out that you are on earth for the glorification of God, firstly, and then secondly, to build alongside others, whether within the church or to help those who are unchurched or are lost, you find a massive clue as to what you're here for. So once you begin to know where your mission field is that you're supposed to do the orienteering around, then you begin to figure out, this is why I'm on earth. Can I get an amen from somebody who vaguely believes that? All right. So anyway, last week we talked about the division between of Ephesians. Firstly, the first three chapters are who is God, and then we're in the latter part of it now. It's how we respond to who God is. And I wanted to just show you this picture here, which describes, and partially because as I was preparing these slides, I was kind of hungry, and in the shape of a cake. Last week, we talked about Ephesians 4. You can get the podcast on it where we're talking about the way that we grow in maturity as we grow together. And then today I'm going to be focusing on growing by knowing where you're going. Can you say that? Growing by knowing where you're going. All right. So let's go back to scripture. It says here, actually it's chapter 5, verse 1. This is verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God. Now we can stop there and preach a whole sermon on that. As beloved children. Okay, the way we imitate God is that we become his likeness as his children, okay? Imitating God. We want to be like him. And how do we walk like him? Verse 2 gives us a massive clue. And walk in love. Everybody say walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Say that one more time. Walk in love. Now, I want to break down what it means from that verse. Now, check this out. It says in verse 2, walk in love as Christ loved us. So Christ is the model of which we learn to love one another. Is that cool? You feel that? All right. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So that's a massive clue, right? We give ourselves up as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So there's three clues there. Number one, from verse one, we love God. We show our love for God by imitating him firstly. Cool? And how do we know that we are imitating him? See, a lot of people say that they're imitating God, but their idea of God is vastly different from the God of the Bible. And so they make decisions based on a God that comes from their perception rather than the God of scripture. How many of you know it's important? If we are to imitate God, we should know him from his scriptures. We should know him from his word and not know him from what we learned in Sunday school back in the day, not just know him from what our parents taught us during the devotions that we were trying to get out of when, you know, those of you from island backgrounds, the loku. Any of you remember the loku? For those of you not from Polynesian backgrounds, we have this thing called the loku, which is a service that happens in your house. And especially for me, I'm a pastor's kid. So my dad was a minister, and so it was necessary in our home. And my dad has one of those real soulful voices. The struggle was real, man. Like when he was praying, it's kind of so soothing that you just kind of... And then when you fall slightly, you'd feel like a gentle love of the Lord kick from my mom to wake myself. I make my mom sound so bad. So sorry, Mom. I know she listens to this podcast, so I love you, Mom. But like, my whole point is that if that's the only revelation of God, rather than your own revelation from discovering him from the scriptures yourself, discovering him in foundations. If your foundations are not right, the God whom you depict and imitate will be completely off as well. For instance, there's another aspect to it. Like, again, we learned this in Leadership 2:15. The two primary aspects of God's nature is his transcendence and his immanence. So if he's transcendent, it means he's vast, he's great, he's the creator of the universe, he's the creator of all things. And then at the same time, he's immanent, meaning he's relational. He is a shepherd, he is our father, he's our daddy. He calls us into friendship with himself. And so you've got to have both. Because if you focus solely on the transcendent side of God, he appears distant. But if you focus solely on the immanent side, he becomes the man upstairs or my homeboy, which he is not. He is God. And so you have to have both. And so you've got to realize that there's a way to imitate him that is clear from Scripture. We imitate him. Paul said it this way as a discipler of many who changed the world during that time. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's why for those of you who are disciples of Jesus in this room, who do you have in your life that is a picture of the imitation of God? Because that is discipleship. Do you have people that are in your life that are those models for the imitation of God? Secondly, giving yourself up. This is the greatest sign of love. Later on in this chapter, we don't have time to get to it, but Paul begins to write between talking about husbands and wives, and he talks about how the model for the husband to love his wife is Christ loving the church, laying his life down for her. Do you give yourself up? Are we so engulfed in this consumerist culture that when we come to an environment like this, it's more, okay, I just want that big four-eyed brown guy to just preach to me. I'm just here to receive from him. Rather than seeing an opportunity to connect, to give, to pour out life as well as receive life. It's a two-way journey. That's what church is all about. And so we give of ourselves, and it's amazing how he who refreshes others or she who refreshes others is also refreshed. Then lastly, it's a fragrant sacrifice. Everybody say fragrant. What does your sacrifice smell like? Is it the sort of sacrifice that when you give of your sacrifice, people are winding down the windows to try and take a breath of fresh air, like, oh man, get me out of here, because the sacrifice has the stench of selfishness. Like, oh, I don't want to be around that. That stinks. Or is it such a great fragrant that people are like, I gotta come alongside that. What does your fragrance, what's the fragrance of your sacrifice? Then Paul gets real in the next verse. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be even named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk or crude joking. Hello, somebody. Which are out of place. Guys, that sort of talk should be out of place in your lives. And it's not just stopping those things on a behavioral level, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not, well, I gotta stop joking that way. I gotta stop talking that way. No, you gotta stop getting that stuff in your heart. If it's in your heart, it'll come out. What's the heart? What's the root issue? A lot of times it's insecurity. And so to appease the boys when we're hanging out, you have to kind of lower your standards. I'm just going to leave that there. They are out of place in the mouth of a saint. Now, that doesn't mean, let me get this right, okay? It doesn't say all joking. It says crude joking, because some of us say, oh, that means that Christians need to be like the Joker on The Dark Knight. Then why is it all serious? You know? No, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to be dry and serious. We're supposed to be full of life. But there shouldn't be anything crude coming out of our mouths, because it shows that there's crudeness in our hearts, if that happens. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. So the best combatant towards crude joking is or filthiness or foolish talk is thanksgiving. Because when you're thankful, you live and talk a different way. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater. Now, This reference to covetousness and idolatry goes for all of the sin that precedes it. You see, the whole theme of sinfulness at the heart of all sin is idolatry. When you bow your heart at the altar of other gods, smaller gods, you begin to reveal the heart of idolatry. And that idol can be stuff that's not necessarily bad, but it becomes bad when it becomes your idol. I'll pose this question to you one more time, and I've posed this question a few times before, but Tim Keller asks the question that if whatever the primary thing is taken away from your life, I'll even venture to go there. Sometimes it's family. If that thing is suddenly taken away from your life, would you lose all sense of purpose and direction if that thing was taken away? Now, that's real talk. It can be money. It can be your career. If those things are taken away, and those things are blessings, but if they are taken away and you lose all sense of identity, all sense of purpose, look, I had to even come to terms with this, that if this microphone was taken away from me, if this church was not the church that I pastor anymore, if I don't have a voice to sing or to or to preach the word of God, will I still worship him? And I can honestly say this, not just as your pastor, but as your brother in Christ, because I'm a lot more than just this. I am bought by the blood of Jesus. And I'll still find a way. If these two muscles that cause this voice to come out of my mouth stop, I will learn sign language. And I'll sign the gospel. I'll find a way for the gospel to come out. I don't need to be defined by what I do or my last name or by the career path that I have. That doesn't define me anymore. Can you honestly say that about yourself? And has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Check this out. Let no one deceive you with empty words. If you have your Bible, underline that. If you have your friend's Bible, underline it for them. They need it too. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. There are going to be a lot of versions of Christianity that will try to lure you with something that appears or looks a lot more appealing. But if it doesn't have the cross of Jesus Christ at the center of it, it's not the gospel. It's not the true gospel. How dare we think about, you know, writing books about how our life can be so much better when there is no mention of the cross in those books sometimes. They're merely fish stickers on self-help books. Don't be lured in with these voices of empty words. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now you are light in the Lord. It doesn't say that there's room for a little bit of darkness and a little bit of light. You are either light or you're darkness. Now, I'm not talking about the tone of your skin. Hey, what up to my dark people in here? Down with you. You know, it's funny, like you go, I come to this environment, right? You go hang out on Sunshine Coast or Gold Coast, people are trying to get darker. And then I used to live in Asia for 8 years, and everyone's trying to, the whitening soap and the whitening cream. I'm like, man, can't you be satisfied with the skin tone that God's given you? That's not talking about this lightness and darkness. What it's talking about is living in the light, because God is the light, and now we are the light of the world, according to Matthew 5, and we should shine brightly where everybody can see. The question I pose to you today is, can everybody around you see your Christianity? I'm not talking about your religious affiliation, but your Christ-likeness, your imitation of God. Can everybody see that in your life? Walk in light. Now, having been in this venue and other non-church events, there's been other events that have happened in this venue. For those of you who may not realize, we don't own this building yet, but there are other venues like this. Even you go down the Fortitude Valley, where the lights look a little bit more like this. That doesn't mean you walk in that sort of light, right? Because you still can't see one another in that sort of light. How many of you remember, like, back in the day, you used to go back in the day, like yesterday? I got love for everybody in here, man. We're all on our journey. Grace. But I remember back in the day when I used to go out to the clubs and the lights would be really low, and the lower they were, you didn't know who you were dancing with. You could be dancing with like a frog. But like I mentioned before, everybody looks good in the dark. Real talk, right? Like, you could turn the lights off. Man, supermodel, man, golly. But how many of you, like, would not go to the club if the lights looked like this? Right? If the lights were like this at the club, nobody would come to your club, because everybody would see everything about you, flaws and all. You know, stuff that no matter how much foundation you put on, ladies, you just cannot cake it up to cover certain beautiful features that you might have. Like, and men too, you know? Some of you are going that way. I'm just praying for you. But how many of you, in the realization of our flawedness, recognizing that we need to have heart surgery, spiritual surgery, would trust a surgeon that would operate on us in this sort of environment? I think it's a scalpel. Pass me the... How many of you know you need light in order to operate a lot more correctly. And this is the sort of environment that we want to create here, is an environment where hopefully you can build the relationships where you can begin to trust one another, because light equals transparency. And it's in this sort of environment that God's able to operate on us. See the funk that's in our lives. Cloud and Townsend wrote this book called Boundaries. Some of you might be familiar with it, but it talks about the difference between gates and fences. Like, some of us like to have fences in our lives, but where the goodness that we need needs to come in through a gate, but we build a fence because we're able to fool people with the elaboration of our fence. Oh, what a beautiful fence. So glorious and big. Look at the multi-tone wood and the use of marble on the fence. Oh, it's so elaborate. Only knowing that fence is hiding the evil within us. It's only when we open the gate that the outside influence of the Holy Spirit can begin to work in us. At the same time, if God has transformed us on the inside out, one of the worst things we can do is hold it and keep it to ourselves behind a fence. When God wants us to open the gate so that the goodness of Christ can be testified out and influence our environments that he puts us in. And see, that's what light does for us, is everybody can see everything about you. Not talking about everything, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have to feel plastic anymore. We can be who God has created us to be. We can even be different. The human tendency is to isolate and hide. And so to walk in the light is to have the scream in you to be made whole, drown out the groan to keep yourself covered in fig leaves. And the reason why I emphasize it this way is that there is a scream. There is a scream of vying for an attention. There's a scream of vying for help. But what we do often at times is we drown this inner scream out with the screams of society, whether it's more noise of career, more noise of busyness, more noise of family, so that we don't hear our hearts cry for help. I'm depressed. I need help. I need strength, God. There is within every single one of us, even the most introverted of us, a cry for human relationship. God created us to desire it. And so when we begin to isolate and we begin to hide, and then you wait for somebody to, you know, it's funny because it kind of works both ways. How many of you have experienced this with a friend? Not you, but like you have a friend who it's like on one side they're like, man, you don't call me, you don't text me. It's like you don't care. And then when you call them and text them, it's like, man, you're so busy about my life. Why do you keep talking about me? Well, if I call you to help, then you're going to get frustrated at me. And then if I don't call you to help, you're going to get frustrated at me. It's like you can't win either way. You need to make a decision. We all need to make a decision to not isolate and hide, to live and walk in the light. It's hard. It's hard. How many of you know it's hard? Right? It's hard to walk in the light. And it's a fight every week. Some weeks it's easy to come to an environment like this, like church. I want you to count this and kill this misnomer. This church is not for perfect people. If this church was for perfect people, I'm sorry, you don't have a pastor today. It's not for those of us who are perfect, but we serve a God who is perfect yet enters into our imperfection and says, here is the light. I want to help you walk in this light as children of light. You don't need to walk that way anymore. You don't need to dress up in royal robes of fig leaves to cover up the sin that and the discrepancies that are in your heart that God wants to deal with. You don't have to hide anymore. And that's the sort of church we want to be. You don't need to hide anymore. We want to help you. Let's help one another out. Let's help as we walk together. But the moment we stand like B-boys in a cypher, those of you who don't know what B-boys are, like breakdown circles, right? It's called the B-boy stance. And like everybody's, you're like that guy. And there's always a couple of cats that just stand there like that the whole time for like the whole hour that the whole cypher is going. And then they high-five everybody and go home. They never enter in. They never get their flares on and their windmills. They never do anything. They just stand there. Looking staunch, you won't get the help you need if you're that guy. Like the dance is going, man. And then there's that guy who just does that all the time. You know? And then goes, yeah, go. You're not going to get what you need until you come out of isolation, come out of hiding, and get to walk in the light. You won't get what you need. But when everything and anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. You can't receive corrective surgery until they know that that cancerous virus is there. You actually need to go and do the MRI or the x-rays or whatever to see that things are broken. And then the rectification can come. It's not for judgment's sake. Again, this is a misnomer within churches, right? I don't want to go to church because those people are fooling themselves. They're hypocrites. Yes, for those of you who don't realize, every single one of us is a hypocrite, including me. Like, I have a Bible that preaches that I should be this way, and there's going to be times, though I am walking in the process of sanctification, that I will not live up to its standards, but I am walking in this process. So, yeah, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Join the club. Let's walk together. I'm so large at being a hypocrite, I put the hippo in hypocrite. That's how great of a... Oh, no, that was terrible. You guys were looking at me so seriously, I said, I'll just crucify myself in the name of bad humor, just in order to lighten the mood. That's a preaching technique for those of you who did homiletics, all right? For anything that becomes visible as light, therefore it says, awake, O sleeper. Turn to somebody and shake them up and say, awake, O sleeper. And arise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. I'm going to land the plane on this point. Look carefully how you walk, okay? Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time. Ooh. Because the days are evil. This is my last walk. We talked about walking in love, walking in the light. Now we're going to talk about walking with wisdom. To walk wisely is to walk without waste. Every breath, every exhalation and inhalation in your lungs has purpose, and you need to steward every moment well. Think about it. If the Bible should say that this is the day that the Lord has made, then we need to steward every single day because it's His. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. We should do our best to get to the end of every day knowing that we lived out that day and that purpose. Now, there's some days we're going to miss it. But when those days become weeks, become months, become years, will we become the uncle who could have played for that team, or the auntie that was like, yeah, I was going to, but... And we live in the land of shoulda, coulda, woulda. We get to the end of a certain period of our lives, and then we look back and we go, man, I wish I had. That's the amounting of these days, these minutes that become hours, and these hours that become days, and days become weeks and months and years. This is the accumulation of all of this. And we get to a certain age. Look, I know I look young, but I'm going to be 43 this year. I know. Some of you are like, what? Okay, let's just say 21 and a half times two. Like, I want to be able to turn around at this point. If God was to take me from this earth now, to be able to look back at after every day and go, man, I lived a full life. I've been able to do what God's put me on the earth to do, for whom He's called me to do it with and for. Let me tell you, if you haven't discovered that yet, you will never be able to discover it apart from Jesus Christ and apart from His community and apart from the Word of God and prayer. You can't discover. Some of us will be like, you know what, I'll just figure it out. I'll just get me a Rick Warren book, and I'm just going to figure it out on my own. One of the things that he will mention in that book is you need community. You need help. You need to walk alongside other people. Or just give me a purple book and fill it up by myself. We can be the best judges of ourselves, but we can also be the worst judges of ourselves when we don't have people who recognize our blind spots. So to walk wisely is to walk without waste. Do you live life by accident? Are you living in that place where you're just like, you know, whatever happens, happens, she'll be right, mate. The only way that she'll be right is if you make it right. God has given you everything you need to walk right. My encouragement as the pastor of this house for all of you today, out of the earnest love of my heart, is don't live life by accident. Live life in love with other people. You've got to be careful how I say that, right? Because some of you are like, ooh, I'll love it for that. I'll be in love. You know, single people, hold up. It's like, oh, pastor, where's the prayer line for that one? I'll pray. Walk in love with the people around you. Walk in the light, a transparency. Let me just add a caveat to that. You don't have to trust every single person with every single aspect of your lives, but trust God to lead you to the right people who will help you to walk in that light. Like, even with it, doesn't mean you have to know every single person in here. And you just meet, hey, how's it going, John? Yeah, good to meet you, John. Yeah, I've actually got this issue with this. And John's like, oh, I'll see you never. You know? No. Build relationships. Establish trust, building it with time. Don't say you're discipling somebody and you haven't met them for 6 months. And don't say you're being discipled by somebody and you're like, well, I don't, what does discipleship even look like? If you're not consistent, you're not in discipleship. It's relational connection. Walk in love, walk in light, and walk wisely. Last verse, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish. Turn to somebody, encourage them. Don't be foolish. And understand what the will of the Lord is, making the best use of time, for the days are evil. You know what? I'm going to throw this verse in for free real quick. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Other versions say be drunk in the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't go out and get drunk, but drink of the Holy Spirit. Get filled with it. You know some of the parties I used to attend where you'd see people that are drunk. They're friends with everybody. Yeah, it's good to see you, brother. The most deep theological discussions happen when people are drunk. They talk about God. Hey, you know God, he's been so faithful to me. I just go and start crying for no reason. And they don't really, you know, they break racial barriers during that time. They're just like going up to every single Cambodian. Hey, bro, how's it going? They go up to someone from Taiwan. Hey, how's it going? Nigeria. They just like love everybody. And they love to dance. They love to celebrate. That's the way we should be when we're drunk in the Spirit, actually, is that we break all these racial barriers. I'm not saying go get drunk and do this. I'm saying be drunk in the Spirit. Be so filled with the Spirit. And that's what happened in Acts 2. Be so filled with the Spirit that you learn to walk in love. You learn to naturally walk in light. And you naturally learn to walk wisely because you know God is in charge. Like the great theologian Bobby Brown once said, every little step I take, you will be there. Every little step I make, we'll be together. Sorry, young people. But that's the heart of God. Walk in love, walk in light, walk wise. Get drunk in the Holy Spirit. You can do all things.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.